Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I guess we are on. What's up, donkeys? Happy Monday. Yep. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. You can check us out on the TV side on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, December 5th. 2022. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, all. Happy Monday.
And Jason Bishop.
Good morning, John Paul.
It's neither a victory Monday or a misery Monday, but it's still presented.
You still play the music.
It is still presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2022 top workplace. Visit MIOScareers.com. Of course, we'll be talking a lot of NFL on the show today. John Keim joins us. He covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. He'll jump on at 7, RG3 at 8 o'clock. And Pete Haley, who covers the Commanders for NBC Sports Washington, he'll join us at 9. Before we dive into the game, which ended up in a tie, we should mention that once again, Eric Carlton Bickle has been hacked.
Oh, yeah. It's a nightmare. Dude, it's a freaking nightmare.
Happened again?
Yeah. I think
either he's been hacked or he likes to tweet about crypto.
Yeah, you love crypto. He loves some crypto.
I mean, I'm a little bit into crypto, but I wouldn't respond to every person's tweet with the same thing.
I categorize you and me as we're crypto dabblers at best.
Yeah, right.
We just dabble in the space.
Yeah, happened?
Well, honestly, so for about a month or so, I've noticed that I have what appears to be called a Yahoo. Some sort of Yahoo virus.
Okay. Right.
It's called like the Yahoo hijacker virus.
Okay.
So what's been happening on my computer is when I would go into Google and I type a search, it would redirect and do a Yahoo search.
Okay.
And I don't know a lot about it, but I've looked into it and it says that somehow you have some sort of Trojan horse in your computer that's giving someone clicks, right? So every time they do a Yahoo search, they're getting paid or something, right? Okay. It's some sort of hijacker virus that's very popular. I have all these software things. They can't get rid of them.
Okay.
So on Saturday morning, was it Saturday or yesterday? Yesterday morning, I was doing all these things. I was deleting my cache. I was doing all these things to try to remove stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just on my Twitter. And when I went, and it logged me out. And then when I went back in, it wouldn't log me back in. I think I pissed off whatever bot is because then all of a sudden it's like it was set up to go to my phone, right? So anytime I'd had an issue, it would go to my phone to confirm, and then it would say, boom, you're back in, right?
Right.
Now it changed the phone number, it changed the contact email, and all of a sudden, crypto tweets start coming out.
Oh, geez.
So I triggered some bot by trying to get rid of this Yahoo search.
Because you thought you corrected it. It was corrected last week, right?
That was the kind of the same thing happened with my Google account, to be honest with you. Okay. And I still don't have my YouTube account, and I still don't have my YouTube TV. I'm currently paying for YouTube TV. I can't use it.
You can't get it.
I can't use it.
You're in a tech fiasco.
And let me tell you something. You might think, oh, it's no big deal.
Well, especially it sounds like a huge deal.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, that's how I get my news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know no one cares. That's how I get my news. Secondly, like at a game like Yes, that's how I communicate with our listeners.
Right.
You know, it's actually part of my job.
So
it's the one thing I like to do.
All right, but your money is safe, right? Your bank account, none of that's been.
Nothing, so
that's
fine.
So it's just it's just Twitter, and then your Yahoo. It's transferred to Yahoo.
It's my ability to maintain contact with 80,000 people slash bots.
Right.
And yeah, and then my YouTube TV.
All right. So what's the remedy?
Don't know. I mean, I've gone through the steps. The guy I have a superpowered attorney that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that has Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all those as his clients. He's gotten me through other scenarios before where I've been hacked. He said everybody knows that Twitter's been fired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like my guy that knows a guy doesn't know a guy anymore. So I've gone through the process and I've appealed or asked, you know, to plead, but they say it could take days, mm-hmm. you know.
You were asking me to tweet on your behalf, which I did. Oh. I just actually copied your messages. One of the messages you asked to tweet out was, tell our listeners to report the hacking. Somebody then tweeted, how do I do that? I have no idea.
Yeah. Just report as spam, and then there's something you can put something else like other. I was told that's a good thing to do. Have people just, so in other words, to make them aware of it quicker. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I know no one cares.
Well, I think that you cared
greatly
because you would have been able to tweet, I picked the tie.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy that I got it right.
I was thinking about you the entire game.
Yeah, but nobody's happy with the tie.
But no one's happy with the tie. And frankly, the only reason why I was happy with the tie at the end is because they could have beaten us on the field goal.
Of course.
And so I was like, thank God. But we, in my opinion on the game, that was a game we had in hand. We kind of threw it away. And then we got lucky to get away with a tie. So I'll take it, but...
Well, it wasn't in hand until the end because they were trailing 20-13.
No,
and
it was in hand before that.
Yes.
That's the part that pissed me off.
Oh, 10-0, sure.
Yeah, that's the part that pissed me off. The first half, that game was in our control, and then we just gave them control.
Then the offense went dark.
And for whatever reason, we turned Daniel Jones into Superman every time we play him.
And it was a Commanders-style game, like the time of possession way on the side of the Commanders. They're running the football. But they trail 20-13, and I would say very fortunate for that taunting penalty, because with about 6 minutes left, the Giants have the ball. They were struggling to move the ball, but they have a first down pass that gets them to Washington's 35-yard line. They're up by 7. They're on the 35. Field goal puts them up 2 scores. Game's probably over.
Right.
And there's a taunting penalty, which kicks them back to the 50-yard line, and then they stumble after that, punt the ball, and then Taylor Heinicke goes 8 plays, 90 yards for the score.
That was his best drive as a professional.
It was pretty impressive.
It was his best drive as a professional. I mean, I know they went on that huge drive against Tampa a couple of years ago where there was 16 plays or 18 plays, whatever it was. But this was his biggest drive. It was a must-needed score, and some of the passes were incredible.
Especially the fourth down.
Yeah.
The fourth down rolling to his left.
That was incredible. I thought... That was maybe his best throw of all the throws he's had in
against
3 years.
His body.
That was an incredible play.
It was kind of, you know, it was off script. I thought that was an incredible drive from Heinicke. He was a C quarterback up until then, but that was huge for them.
When he broke the pocket, I was just waiting for imminent disaster.
So was I.
I was just so like, how can this end up well?
Mm-hmm. Well, he had to break the pocket because he was pressured. They were pressured 18 times in the game.
Well,
the Giants
the
had their season-high 18 quarterback pressures.
Here's the problem. I don't know what's gotten into Scott Turner. Half the time they were using just their 5 offensive linemen or whatever to block. Big mistake. Big mistake. Every time they had the tight ends going out, and they had Logan running patterns all the time. Every time they did that, they couldn't handle them. Need the extra help. And so they were in 5 receiver sets. Or no backfield sets, and then when they just have the 2 tackles, the two guards, and the center blocking,
that doesn't work.
They overwhelm us. Yeah. We're not good enough.
Not to mention that their center went down.
And then
so
center
we were
went
back
down.
To the Nubs Martin.
By the way, That's a disaster.
Yeah.
That hurts. That
now, they have 2 weeks.
That could kill the season.
They have 2 weeks because of the bye week to figure out their offensive line, because Cosme returned yesterday.
He went out.
Yeah, but then he went out.
Yeah.
He went out.
He's always
out. No.
I know, but I'm saying that you have 2 weeks to get it right.
And when your scheme allows Thibodeau to just come free and sack Heinicke on the one, like, it's just, it's personnel and scheme all going wrong at the same time.
I didn't understand that. I had no idea what was going on.
Well, they had a new center. And then, honestly, I
was that Leno at left tackle who missed
that?
It was Leno, but
that's communication.
He took the interior guy. Like,
that's communication. And frankly,
that could have been a huge disaster.
All they're bringing is one more guy. Anytime we only had the five offensive linemen, we were in trouble. Yeah. We learned that with Wentz.
He was under duress the entire game.
Yeah, you can't be successful
and
that
he
way.
He can't just sit.
I blame Turner.
I didn't like a lot of those play calls, throwing to the sideline and, you know, those little swing passes.
Yeah, those floaters. First of all, he throws floaters. By the time they catch him, they're tackled.
Yeah, they weren't going anywhere. And then,
dumb.
Like you said, you know, sitting him in the pocket just isn't going to work. He can't see over the defensive lineman. He's going to throw the ball too high.
And they just sit on those balls when they know. That's why, God bless him, that guy's got, like John Allen said afterwards, the biggest nuts he's ever seen. Yeah.
But it was a winnable game. Like, if you watched Ron Rivera, we'll play some of the clips after the game.
Totally.
When you tie
winnable.
The game, now you could have lost it, but you had opportunities to win it. It's a weird spot. Like, you kind of think about the missed opportunities. And when it comes to the Commanders, like, for the Giants, I would be haunted by the taunting penalty. Like, they're probably thinking, we're up 20-13,
well,
6 minutes to
the
go.
Ball. They also dropped the ball.
Oh, yeah, Slayton's drop. But they're probably, you know, what probably is killing Daboll is he's thinking, we're on the 35. We're about to go up 10. You just need five more yards, and you have a 47-yard field goal. You're in field goal range already if you don't even gain a yard, okay? And then they have the taunting penalty, forces into the punt, Heinicke, and has the drive of his career, if you want to call it that, whatever.
I thought
eight plays, 90 yards.
Yeah.
All right, but for the Commanders, I'm looking at the overtime where Samuel has a 21-yard run, puts you on the 33. All right, that's Joey Sly range. Now, he missed the longer one earlier in the game, which broke his streak of 50.
The ball clearly wasn't flying well.
But if you're on the 33, you're thinking, if I get five yards, we're at a 45-yard field goal.
Yeah.
And they run for two on the first down, Brian Robinson for two.
Mm-hmm.
Then, second and seven.
Penalty?
No, Brian Robinson negative
lost,
3 yards.
He lost yards on that.
So now it's third and 10. And again, you're on the outside of Joey Sly. And they go uber conservative, wide receiver screen to Samuel when the Giants had everybody up.
Yeah.
The Giants knew
can't
give 5 yards.
He had to get rid of quick.
I know. I'm not blaming it on Heinicke. I'm blaming it more on Turner on the play call.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes negative 1 yard. Now they're in a position where, do you grasp at a Sly?
No,
which gives them
the
field
right
position,
thing.
You punt.
No, you
so that's,
punt
I think, there. That, I think, is the key series that the Commanders are probably looking at. Like, that was our opportunity to win the game.
There were quite a few. There was a couple killer penalties in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
Logan had one. Offensive line donk had one or two.
Mm-hmm.
That just murdered the drive.
Seven penalties for 56 yards
for the
Commanders.
That was the difference, because we dominated time of possession. We had more yardage. I mean, honestly.
But also, some of it was field position. So they got pinned back a couple times. And yes, the penalties murdered them, but they moved the ball. But it's hard to move the ball 80 yards or 90 yards.
No, we were moving it. And then the penalties, like, you can overcome maybe one penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But they were having, like, two penalties on the drives, and that was killing them. Honestly, that was a missed opportunity. The reason why I picked a tie is because I thought both teams are evenly matched, and I still think so.
Yeah.
But that was a lost opportunity. We easily could have lost that game, too, by the way.
Sure.
So that's why I'm happy with the tie, but that was also a lost opportunity. I don't know why we turn Daniel Jones into Superman. It makes me crazy.
He's just your kryptonite.
Yes, he literally is the skin's kryptonite.
Either. It's weird.
It's the weirdest thing. We make him look like Josh Allen running the ball. And, you know, Saquon's fine. He had an okay game, but he didn't kill us.
No.
You know, he didn't kill us. We kept him reasonably
he
in check.
Especially in the past game. He didn't
you saw the chinks in the armor last week with Mariota. We knew that Daniel Jones was going to be a problem.
And this is what Daniel Jones has been doing against us for like 3 years, his whole career.
He's just pretty good. He's actually a pretty good quarterback.
He's okay.
He doesn't put up gaudy numbers. He doesn't have receivers to throw to.
He's like the 17th or 18th best quarterback in the league. Like
He's average throwing it, but he's better than average running it.
He's not terrible.
But for whatever reason, we make him look like Josh Allen against us.
I don't get it.
But look, the tie.
Every time they play the Giants, they have the design run plays for him, and they always work.
He's so good at it.
They always
work. You know what? I'm going to say maybe he and Mariota are just really good at it.
But
the tie,
it kind of sums up the season, because if you think about it, they've had razor-thin margins throughout. Lucky to beat the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Titans, they lose on an interception at the end. Colts game, squeaker, 17-16. Falcons game comes down to a play at the end.
It's kind of a fitting
outcome. It's what they do.
It was two mediocre offensive teams getting together in the Meadowlands, and they were just mediocre enough to tie each other.
All right, we'll be talking about it throughout the show. You can always hit us up on Twitter, @JunksRadio. Follow us on Instagram, SportsJunkiesRadio. We've got John Keim, who covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. He'll join us at 7. RG3 jumps on at 8. Pete Haley, who covers the Commanders for NBC Sports Washington at 9. It is a Football Monday on the Junkies, presented by Chenega Miles, a 2022 top workplace. Visit MIOScareers.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back on a Football Monday on the Fan, brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2022 top workplace. Visit MIOScareers.com. So I mentioned Ron Rivera after the game talking about what it's like to have a tie. Guess it's better than a loss, but you still kind of feel like, eh, here's Coach Rivera after the game talking about his feelings.
What exactly are you frustrated about today?
The tie. I addressed them, and I wasn't sure how to address them, because we came up here and we expected to win, and we didn't. We tied, and it's, because it doesn't hurt us, it doesn't help us, because these are the guys that we're competing with right now, and so next week, or in 2 weeks, we'll have to reset and get ready to compete against them again. So we just got to focus in on the next few days, getting everybody as healthy as we can possibly get them, get everybody back out on the practice field as quickly as we can for next week. 2 weeks, and then see what happens. But yeah, to your point, Darren, I'm just, I'm still kind of stunned a little bit.
Almost as tilting as somebody says frustrating instead of frustrating. I'm no wordsmith, obviously, but that's a little bit tilting.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Your feelings after a tie to the New York Giants, which, if you look at the playoff picture right now, would actually put you on the outside of the playoffs because Seattle won yesterday. The 49ers won, although the 49ers, they got major. I had to look at their depth chart. So Brock Purdy's their starter now.
Yeah.
He was the last pick in the NFL draft this year.
That's their guy.
Do you know who the backup is?
Yeah.
Backup to Purdy.
Josh Johnson.
Yeah, Josh Johnson.
That guy, you know what? I give him credit. That guy's stuck around in the league for a long time.
15 teams now, I think.
He's going to play for more than half the league before all is said and
done. It's unbelievable. Good for him. His career is unbelievable.
But that's what they're down to.
It's just brutal. The guy just can't stay healthy. He's had 3 season-ending injuries now in 6 years.
Yeah.
So it's just unbelievable.
But anyway, they're 8-4. The Seahawks trail them at 7-5. We'll get into that coming up at 6:45. Give you the NFC playoff picture.
As I said in the first segment, I feel like, me personally, we should have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the game, obviously, we got lucky to get away with the tie. But at the end of the day, I don't know how all the I kind of know how the tiebreakers work. I'm playing dumb. But if you want to get to 10 wins, it just made it that much harder to get to 10 wins.
Right.
That's all. So, mm-hmm. Maybe, if you're 9-7-1 or whatever the hell it is, and somebody else is, what?
9-7.
9-7 or 10 and I don't even know.
Or 9-8.
Should we might have some sort of tiebreaker over them if we have a tie and they have a loss or whatever. But at the end of the day, I felt like you had to get to 10, and that just makes it harder to get to 10.
Yes.
Well, clearly the offense, it put up yards yesterday. They went over 400 yards, but once again, they end up with 20 points. They very rarely will go over 20 points. Here's what Ron Rivera said about what he's going to attack during the bye week.
Going to the bye week here, is there something you feel you're missing offensively that you want to capture during that time?
Well, that's what we're going to do during the bye week is evaluate that.
Is there anything today you put your finger on and you say that this element of the offense, these missed opportunities were frustrating?
Well, we missed the opportunities. It happens. We overthrow a couple guys. We miss a couple blocks. Stuff like that. Those are things that we got to get shored up. We got to get them fixed and get them ready to go. We play these guys in 14 days. They're a good football team. We're a good football team. We feel good about who we are. And, we just got to get ourselves prepared and ready to go.
I love how he talks in circles. It's just the best. When they ask him what are you going to prepare for? Well, we're going to prepare for what we're prepared for.
Yeah. He doesn't give you much.
He's not going to give you
doesn't
much.
Pinpoint anything. It's like he just wants the pressers to be done with the quickness.
Well, I think specifically they need to figure out how to combat the Giants' pressures. The pressures, they had 5 sacks, but they had 18 pressures, which was a season high for the
simple.
Giants.
I mean, they've already decided. That was a huge step backwards in protection yesterday. Huge step backwards. Not only losing Larson, hopefully that's only a little bit, but it doesn't look good.
It didn't look good, right.
they can't only just mano-a-mano go 5 against their 5 or whatever. They need tight ends blocking, running backs chipping.
Yeah.
They have to have that element. When they don't, they get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
They get pressured.
Now, on the bright side, they did run the football very effectively. Brian Robinson had another good game. You look at 165 yards rushing, time of possession, 41 minutes and 11 seconds.
If I had to pinpoint one reason why
they're just not explosive enough.
If I have to pinpoint one reason, I actually think they were good enough other than the penalties. The penalties are what killed them. If I had to pick one thing, and certainly we were lucky that Slayton dropped the ball and, that the guy did the flexing or whatever. Certainly we were lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I think we had the edge in that game and we gave it away.
Now, they also had a penalty. A couple people have tweeted us and said, bring this up. They had a penalty flag thrown on what looked like a pass interference at the goal line on Terry McLaurin, which they then picked up and decided not to call pass interference. There was a Logan Thomas block in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of think when people focus on penalties which could have gone the way of the Commanders, you probably could do the same thing for the Giants.
Yeah.
I'm not getting caught up in
it. I never understand why one referee sees something and then when they finally talk to the other guys, they wave it off and pick it up.
Well, maybe they wait for a replay too. Who knows what they're doing.
And I thought that...
Yeah, but...
It's like something shady.
But they're not supposed to replay a flag.
They're not.
You throw a flag on a pass interference, that should be the call.
But they see it up there. They go, you know what? I think you're right.
The taunting was kind of ticky-tack, too, because how could I get in that guy's head? But I thought he was going up and, flexing to his teammate instead of, right in somebody else's face. But
I guess the
ref thought otherwise.
Well, was our bench on that side or was our bench on the other side?
I can't remember.
I thought...
I thought he went towards his player and did it instead of like right in a commander's or the
yeah,
commander's
but you wouldn't do
face,
that in your you wouldn't do that to your teammate. That's the kind of thing you do to somebody
maybe.
Else.
But yeah,
this is the way I look at it. This team is, even though they're 7-5-1, they just have too many flaws. They just have too many holes. I mean, there are certain teams in the league that are just strong from top to bottom, but they just have too many, and they're just not consistent enough over 60 minutes. And you're going to see those mistakes from the offensive line or from receivers or certainly from the quarterback over 60 minutes against a good team. And that's what you saw.
But you actually saw the offense off to a nice start. Look, defense has a turnover on Daniel Jones. Props to Jonathan Allen and Jamin Davis.
Right.
They make a play. They settle for a field goal there, but then they scored in their first two drives. They're up 10-0.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nice play to Terry McLaurin from Taylor Heinicke, where he steps up in the pocket. Could have been sacked there. That was a pressure. Mm-hmm. Kind of steps up, ducks under, kind of does a Taylor Heinicke thing, throws a sidearm pass to McLaurin, who beats Fabian Moreau.
Right.
Moreau should have had a tackle there, but Terry McLaurin makes a split. You're up 10-0, and you're thinking that the offense is going, and they were able to run the football. But as EB says, some of it late in the game was penalties. It seemed like they were able to drive the ball, but just not enough.
They kept getting in their own way.
Settling for field goals. Missed a field goal. Like, they didn't punt a ton. It's not like they had 8 punts in the game. I think they only had 2 maybe in regulation and then a couple in overtime.
Yeah. But see, this is what defenses do. Defensive coordinators adjust during the game.
Yeah, but so why didn't we adjust? Why I really thought it was a step backwards. A step backwards.
I think they did adjust to an extent on
stuff that we don't recognize.
I think they did adjust to an extent with Daniel Jones. You know, they pointed out in the broadcast Montez Sweat ducking to the middle.
No, I'm talking about
offensively. Outside. Well, I'm just saying defensively, look, there was another situation. The defense made plays when they had to, right? So 3rd and 2, when the Giants have the ball in overtime and they have Richie James run into Saquon Barkley, it was a read option play, which he probably wanted to go to the outside, and they did a better job in the second half and in overtime of funneling Daniel Jones to the inside versus breaking out to the outside, which he was able to do early in the game when Montez dipped to the middle and, you know, they just weren't disciplined in their lanes.
I'm talking about offensively. I don't feel like they adjusted in their protection schemes.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line for me.
Well, that's Wink Martindale, right? Valdez has talked about him for years.
He
likes to blitz. So even if they brought 6, then he's going to bring 7 or something.
Well, I'm sure he's very good at that, but we can't do it with just 5. And it seemed to me, and I didn't watch the film, but as I'm watching the game, I'm screaming at my TV. Oftentimes, we didn't have a tight end helping. It was their guys against our 5.
They also have a good defensive line.
Yeah,
like, I think that Rivera's right. Like, Jason's correct. Neither of these teams are in the upper echelon in the NFL, but they're both pretty good teams.
Pretty good. I thought
they're borderline playoff.
Yeah. They're exactly where
and
they
just
are.
Makes, yep. And it just makes the game in 2 weeks that much bigger.
They're kind of like the Falcons who are on the outside looking in, but that's why the Falcons game was so close. Giants games, like, toss all those teams into a bucket. They're all about the same.
They're all teams that are going to score like 20 to maybe 23 points, kind of boring offensively, pretty good defensively.
Play close games.
And most likely going to get drummed in the first round of the playoffs if they make
mediocre quarterbacks.
Right.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Call us to the MGM National Harbor. Listen, Ron, your takeaways from a 2020 tie.
Play the music, Kicks. We did not
feel hollow playing this music.
We should play like that gospel version they came out. Which is Hail.
Like, that's like a loser.
Like the slowed down version. I can't handle it.
All right, let's go to Thomas in Bowie. Thomas, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, Jeff, what's going on this morning?
Hey, Thomas.
Hey.
So watching that game and watching them over the last couple of weeks, it seems like the reason these games have been so close, if you look at our third down stats, they've been terrible, and it's on offense. And it's a shame because defense is finally starting to hunker down, really get teams off the field. But, you know, when we get into 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, obvious passing situations, we can't complete passes outside of that last drive. And, you know, it's the first time that I felt good and bad about this team in a long time. It's like defense is solid, but we are definitely a quarterback away from really taking that next step and for really losing productivity in that position. And that game shouldn't have been that close. We get out to a 10-0 lead. You know, you think that at that point you score at least, what, six more points, maybe get a couple more field goals and put a little bit more pressure on them to not be able to run the ball.
We should have stepped on their throats at that point. We should have stepped on their throats.
We should have. And, you know, and maybe extending a couple of those drives, taking some more time off the clock, getting a couple more field goals really put us in a position to go away from that game, end that game winning, and go away from it with the lead. And it just, you know, you can't go 3 for 14 every week on third down and expect to make the playoffs. We really got to be able to drop back past 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, and pick up third downs. And until we can do that, we're not going to make it to the next level.
Well, all right, thank you, buddy. Yeah, I don't think there's any next level this year.
Yeah, I would agree. And you can say that for a bunch of teams, you know, quarterback away. It's just not easy to do. So that's what I'm saying. When you play a team that's on your level, and the Giants can say the same thing. The Giants can say, hey, we're a quarterback away the way we played. And when you play a team that's on your level, you just have to limit the mistakes and you have to execute. And you can only do what you're good enough to do. And this team is not good enough to consistently score points for 60 minutes.
I think the Giants are more a receiver or two away. Like if they brought in,
maybe.
Think about what Stephon Diggs did to Josh Allen. And I'm not trying to compare Josh Allen's physical capabilities to Daniel Jones, but if you had an elite receiver,
mm-hmm.
can make a difference. Look what's happened with, and I'm again, better players, but the addition of A.J. Brown to the Eagles
offense.
Look at what
Tyreek Hill has done other than yesterday. Look at what he's done for Tua.
Well, exactly.
They thought they had that when they signed Kenny Galladay to a free agent deal.
Yeah, but that's been a bust.
It's been a gigantic bust.
And I'm sure that's what they'll do in the offseason.
And they drafted Kadarius Toney.
And the one good thing from, listen, there were a few good signs yesterday. I mean, it wasn't horrible. It was, but, like, we saw Dotson again. Terry was big. Robinson, Logan's continuing to make an impact, although he hurt us there with a couple penalties.
Somebody
on the one
tweeted
drive.
Us, and I'm not savvy enough to know this. I didn't pay attention to it. Somebody tweeted us and said that Dotson was horrible in terms of blocking on the wide receiver screens.
He might have been. I mean, certainly. I mean, most of those receivers aren't very good at that.
Plus, he's kind of tiny, so it wouldn't shock me if he's getting dominated.
I'm not
going
to blame him. He, you know.
But that key series, I'm telling you, they just needed 5 more yards, and then they're in field goal position to win it in overtime.
No
they
doubt.
Chose to go wide receiver screen to Samuel, which was a -1 yard play.
Well, that's because they went uber conservative.
I know, but I'm saying is if you block it a little bit better, maybe you get the 5 yards.
I don't think he doesn't trust Taylor anyway to make that play.
I think you got to give them credit. I think you give them credit on defense. They played that well, and we didn't have that schemed up well enough.
All right, who's up?
Let's go to Lewis in D.C. Lewis, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep,
listen,
sure.
We simply got out coached yesterday.
Turn down your radio.
I'm sorry. We simply got.
All right, we can do it.
Hold on. He was getting it. He was trying to. You guys were asking him to multitask.
We have other people we can go to.
All right, let's go to Dennis in Reston. Dennis, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, you know what I think Rivera meant yesterday? He said he was going to be looking at things over the next 2 weeks and trying to figure it out. I honestly think that Rivera is, I think he's really going to take another look at Heinicke in the Wentz thing again.
I don't think so.
I do. Heinicke yesterday, there was a couple. I mean, I like Heinicke as much as everybody else does, guys. But he really threw some bad throws.
He kind of keeps both teams in it.
Yeah, he
does.
He
had a lot of throws, which were near interceptions, but he finished with 275 yards, 2 touchdowns, and I believe his quarterback rating was over 100 yesterday.
It was.
Yeah. It was, but
okay.
I give him a
QBR
BFS.
Was low.
Yeah, but he sailed some balls. Like, I mean, he had Logan wide open.
Okay.
But that's what he's going to do. He's too small.
It's part of his deal. I understand what he is.
If Carson Wentz is under center on the first touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin, what happens on that play?
Oh, he probably gets sacked.
He either gets sacked or worse.
They're saddled with 2 mediocre quarterbacks.
They have to block better.
No matter who they go to.
If they blocked that yesterday, Carson wouldn't have done any better, but they have to block better.
Carson would have done worse. I think Heinicke makes some plays, a couple plays each game, specifically that play where he ducks under, steps up in the pocket, throws a sidearm pass to Terry McLaurin.
That was a good throw.
I think that's probably either a sack or a sack fumble with
Wentz. I guess
Wentz.
If there's any spot in the schedule to get Wentz ready, it's obviously the bye week to get ready for the Giants.
They can't bet you now. You got to wait for more of a blow.
Yeah, and I would agree. I don't think they're going to
I think
go
they
Wentz.
Are waiting for it because you hear the first thing out of Ron's mouth is, we missed him high.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're waiting But they can't do it now. You can't.
I don't think you
can. I don't think you can do it in the season now. You have four games to go.
No, I think they're – well, it depends.
I mean, these games are all huge, and if Wentz, who's missed six, seven games, whatever it is, comes up, there's going to be a rust factor there, and he's not going to look like he just missed a quarter.
Did Wentz dress yesterday?
I was having the hardest time.
He
wasn't inactive.
I don't think he dresses. I think they got Sam Howell sitting there dressed.
But he wasn't on the inactive list. It was really bizarre. I didn't see him. I had a hard time figuring that one out.
I think he's in Chase Young no man's land.
No, but Chase is on side.
I know. I just don't see Wentz.
So bizarre.
I was looking for him.
And he's a big dude, too.
Yes.
It's not like he's tiny.
But Chase was inactive.
Where are they hiding him?
Here's what I do know. Wednesday's sitting there showing Heineke the plays on the surface.
Not in the last 2 weeks.
He's right next to Howell.
But still, nevertheless, look, it is what it is. I like Taylor. He tries his heart out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just wasn't good enough. And penalties killed us. Those teams are even, but we could have stolen that game, and we didn't. We also could have very easily lost.
Overall, it was probably a B to B minus game for Taylor Heineke. You can vote on our poll. Brought to you by Van Meter Homes. What grade would you give Taylor Heineke? Coming up next, we'll fill you in on where the Commanders lie in the playoff race.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I was just thinking about the weekend. The biggest lock of the weekend came to fruition. Wasn't on the football field. It was at the Dulles Expo Center. The guy, Chef, yeah. Did make an appearance.
I wish we could have placed a bet on that.
He took a picture with Lisa Ann.
Yeah.
And he had a tag. Did you see what the tag was?
I did not look at his tag. No.
3-day VIP pass.
Wow. Oh, wow. Of course.
That was the lock of the century.
He lives for that.
Loves it. That's his Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
His Super Bowl came early.
He's the nicest guy. He really is super nice.
Yeah.
He's also maybe the creepiest guy I know. I mean, you got to be fair, Cakes. You got to be honest. I know you like him. I like him. It's not meaning he's bad.
I mean,
creepy.
If you look at his Twitter, it's kind of a weird look. But I love the guy. I love him.
So do I.
Very nice.
But it's I can explosive. Say that a friend of mine is creepy.
Yeah, I think it's within his range of outcomes.
All right, so I wanted to give you the NFC playoff picture right now. So the Commanders with the tie fall to 7-5-1, still two games above 500, very much in the wild card race. I'll start with the top of the playoff picture. The Eagles are now 11-1. Crushed the Titans 35-10. Look, if the Titans are going to win, Derrick Henry has to play well. They shut him down, held him to 30 yards.
That's their formula.
So that's one side of the equation. The Philly locked down Derrick Henry.
I'm going to guess the Titans have never won a game. Now, I'm sure there's one outlier.
Where he's run for 30 yards.
Where he's run for 30 or less yards.
Find me
a game where they've won where he's had that sort of stat.
They need to run the football. The Eagles, who got gashed by the Commanders when they lost their one game this year, they addressed their defensive deficiencies, bringing in Ndamukong Suh.
Linval Joseph.
Yes.
Jordan Davis gets healthy, though. comes
he gets
back.
Healthy, so they are able to shut them down. But on the other side of the ball, Jalen Hurts is having an MVP year. I don't know if he's going to win the MVP. I would say he's probably the favorite.
He's got two spectacular receivers.
He connected with A.J. Brown 8 times for 119 yards and 2 touchdowns. Also hit Devontae Smith for a touchdown. So you got Philly as your one seed, clear one seed.
And he did that yesterday without Dallas Goedert at tight end.
Right.
Wait, two seed comes back.
And there's some separation here. It looks like it's the Minnesota Vikings. You kind of scratch your head. They're in a lot of close games. Another close game yesterday, but the Vikings are 10-2. Beat the Jets 27-22. Kirk didn't even have a big game. Did have one touchdown pass, but they didn't throw for 200 yards. I guess the difference is, look, they picked off Mike White twice.
Yeah.
Well, the Jets went up and down the field, and they were in the red zone inside the five a ton of times. But they couldn't come away with touchdowns.
Garrett Wilson had a bomb line yesterday. I think he went for 8 and 162.
Yeah. So, but again, that's a quarterback. That's a backup quarterback making mistakes when you need to score touchdowns, and they couldn't do it. That was the difference there.
And still better than Zach Wilson.
So Philly, one seed
at this point.
Vikings, your 2 seed. The Niners come in as the 3 seed. They're 8-4 now. They've been playing much better football. But as we said before, you're down to Brock Purdy now as your starting quarterback. So you had Trey Lance at the beginning of the year.
Broken ankle.
To Jimmy G.
Broken foot.
Broken foot. Now it's Brock Purdy. He was the last pick in the draft. He did throw 2 touchdown passes.
He played really well considering the situation, but now he's the guy. And so he's going to be the guy for 5 more weeks and the playoffs if they get there. And defenses are going to be able to game plan against Brock Purdy. It's just a crusher of an injury for the Niners.
They need him to be a game manager because your defense – Jason loves the Niners, led by Bosa. I think he had 3 sacks in the game.
And a strip
sack.
He's
looking at the defensive player of the year this year.
He's an absolute stud, and that's the reason that they won the game, because they controlled the clock with the run game. McCaffrey was huge, and the defense just caused so many problems for
Tua. In their 5-game win streak, they've given up 14, 16, 10, 0, 17.
I mean, their defense has been sick.
How many sacks does Bosa have this year? It's like 12 and a half, 13, something like that?
I thought he had at least 13. I'd have to look at the
up. He's been a monster. So,
but they literally couldn't block him.
Right now, they have a 1-game lead in the division over Seattle. Tampa would be your 4 seed just because they're winning their division. They're 5-6, play the Saints tonight. So your wild card picture, you've got Dallas, who put up 33 points in the fourth quarter last night against the Colts. So end of the third quarter, it's a 2-point game. They got to 54 points, the Dallas Cowboys, with 33 points in the fourth quarter. I believe it was not one, not two, not three. 4 turnovers by the Colts in the fourth quarter, all turned into points.
I looked at that score bleary-eyed this morning because obviously I didn't stay up for the end. And I had to refocus on Dallas's point total because it had been a relatively close game when I went to
33
sleep.
33-0.
Shocking.
Quarter.
Like I said, 2-point game at the end of three quarters.
Yeah.
Colts have the ball. I think a tight end gets stripped, and that's returned for a touchdown. So there's a touchdown. Boom. Then Matt Ryan throws an interception, and it just spiraled. It spiraled for the Colts. So Dallas, 9-3 now. Still have a chance to catch the Eagles. But it's going to be very tough. So then you get to the bottom, which is where the Commanders would be. The Giants with the tie, 7-4-1 would be the 6th seed. And now Seattle leapfrogs the Commanders because Seattle beat the Rams. Geno Smith hit DK Metcalf with 2 minutes left in the game. They beat the Rams 27-23. So they're 7-5.
It was just a really fun game to watch. And Geno, that drive was awesome. It was a fun game to watch. I mean, they got holes. Both, obviously, the Rams have a ton of holes, and the Seahawks have holes. They were down to their 4th-string running back, who also got hurt. And then they had to go back to DJ Dallas, who just got hurt. They were playing banged-up running backs the entire game. But it was just a fun game to watch, and that last drive was epic from Geno.
And the Rams won the Super Bowl last year. They're 3-8.
3-9.
3-9, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, think about that.
Well, they got, I mean, a bunch of guys are
and
out.
They have no draft picks because
they got
traded
no quarterback.
Them all.
Your best
you know what? They got
this
a Super Bowl out.
They did win a Super Bowl.
They gave it a good run.
Paid off for them.
So the Commanders, really, I would say it's a 3-way dance with the Giants in Seattle. If you compare the schedules, all right, the Giants play Philly this week. Let's say that's a loss. Obviously, the Commanders play the Giants. Then they both have tough games on the road. Washington has San Francisco. the Giants have Minnesota. Let's call that a wash. Then they both have kind of cupcakes, Cleveland and Indy. Let's call that a wash. It might come down to that last game where Washington plays Dallas. You don't know who's going to play for Dallas. And then the Giants play Philly. I'm pretty confident Philly's not going to be playing anybody.
Might not.
Like, that's advantage Giants. And then if you look at Seattle's schedule.
They got Carolina this week.
Carolina this week, cupcake. Winner. But then they've got San Francisco. They go to Kansas City and with the Jets. That's probably the toughest of the three schedules.
But remember, they've got San Francisco at home, okay, and it's going to be Brock Purdy. So it's going to be different than if Garoppolo was playing.
Oh, it's a huge advantage.
It's a huge difference.
But I mean, we'll take advantage of it. But it's a huge
I'm not saying that San Francisco can't win it.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's in Seattle and they're playing against a seventh round pick instead of Garoppolo, it's a huge difference.
It just sucks because we easily could have lost that game yesterday. You know, I expected the field goal to go in. To be honest with you, I'm standing there going, yeah, he's going to make it.
58 yards a long. I mean,
it was long.
Yeah, it's a long.
And the ball wasn't carrying great, but still. guys in the league today can make those if they hit it online.
That was the right stadium for it to happen in because
of the wind and everything and the cold. So I'm glad that they missed, but I thought we were going to give that away. I personally believe we gave that game. That was even though I think they're evenly matched teams, I think we could have stolen that game. I think we gave it away. We had too many opportunities we didn't capitalize on.
But you're right. You probably need to get to 10 wins.
It hurts us.
You probably need to get to 10 wins, and now you have to win three out of your last four.
It hurts because now you go from the seventh seed to slipping out.
Yeah, I mean,
now you and then with Seattle playing Carolina, and Washington has the bye week. It's just going to put that much more pressure to win that game
for
against
sure.
New York.
Like when Ron said it doesn't help us, doesn't hurt us. No. I think it hurt us. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, that tie hurt us.
I agree. Right,
coming up next, we will talk to ESPN.com insider covers the Commanders, John Keim. Remember, RG3 joins us at 8. Pete Haley from NBC Sports Washington at 9. That's all right here on a Football Monday, presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2022 top workplace. Visit MIOScareers.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.